We're continuing the Navi Yeshaya, and the Navi describes what they call the 51st chapter. The Navi had began by saying in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hit-oreri, hit-oreri, arise, arise, Jerusalem, grow great, because Hashem has given you the poisonous wine to drink, and that is the description of the destruction. And now it's time to be rebuilt. So the Navi is describing the downfall of Jerusalem, from which the Navi will call upon Jerusalem to arise. But now we're in the Psukim that describe the downfall of Jerusalem, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the Navi who lived before the destruction, right? The Navi Yeshaya is prophesizing during the period of the first Beit HaMikdash, a century before the destruction. And the Navi describes the destruction. It seems the Navi isn't even describing the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, but rather the long-term destruction and the ultimate return of Israel to Zion. So the Navi says, Jerusalem has been fed the poisonous cup. No one's been there to comfort Jerusalem. All her children that she gave birth to, all her people, are gone. There's no one there to hold her hand, all those children that she herself raised. Pasuk Yutet, Shitayim Heina Koreota Yich. If only two troubles would have befallen you, Mi Yanud Lach, who could comfort you? But now you had four troubles befall you, and certainly how are you going to get up? Hashod, you were looted, Ve'ashever, and broken, Ve'ara'av, Ve'acherev, and you were plagued with famine, and you were attacked by sword, Mi anachamech. So who can comfort you but I, says Hashem. Banayich ulefu shachivu berosh kol chutzot ketom michmar. Your children have been plundered. You could find them at the marketplaces, tossed about as though they were to michmar. To is a type of wild animal that is caught in the michmar, caught in the net of the hunter. So too, the bodies of the youngsters are tossed about throughout Jerusalem, and they're free for plunder to the enemy, because they are weakened by the famine, they are overtaken by the enemy. Hamleim chamat Adonai, ga'arat Elohayich. They are suffused with the wrath of Hashem. Hashem says, I brought this upon them. It is my roar that took down Jerusalem. Don't think it is the hand of nature or the nations. It isn't. It's me who brought about this destruction. And therefore, Hashem says, I will rebuild you. That's what we will read in a moment. Yes?
Is Toh not a buffalo?
Maybe.
What is the other... It's like in Tanakh, in the Chumash, when it says...
I don't know. It says it's a wild axe. Again, in Shulchan Aruch, what?
Shulchan Aruch, a buffalo is referred to as Bukla. Bukla.
Ah.
It's written.
Lachain either means therefore. That's how the Targum translates it. That's modern Hebrew. Chazal say that the word lachain is Hashem taking a vow. Shimina zot aniya. Listen here, Jerusalem. You are aniya. You are the one who has suffered from ushchuat v'lo miyayin, and you have become drunk, but not from wine. You have become drunk from suffering. You have taken in so much suffering, it's as though you've become drunk from that. So, listen here, Aniya. You who are impoverished. Ko amar Adonaich Adonai. So says Hashem, who is your master. Ve'lohayich yariv amo. And your God, who will fight on behalf of his nation. Hine lakachti miyadeich et kosat arila. The time has come, and I will remove from you the poisonous cup. Hashem says, so to speak, I gave you a cup of poison, you keep sipping it. Jerusalem repeatedly falls. The time has come for me to take back that poisonous cup. Et kubat kos chamati lo tosifi lishtota od. You will cease to continue drinking the sediment of my wrath. The Navi is describing it as though you're drinking the disgusting part of the wine, the sediment, the pieces of grape that fall to the bottom. Et kubat, the sediment of kos chamati, the cup of the wrath of my anger, lo tosivi lishtota od, you will not continue to drink it. Visamtiha biyad mogayich, on the contrary, I will give that cup in the hands of your enemies. I will give it in the hands of those who tax you. Asher amiru lenafsheich shechi v'na'avora. They keep telling you, bend down to the earth as we will step over you. Vatasimi ha'aretz geveich v'chachutz la'overim. And you have been forced to, the word is prostrate yourself, yes, bow down before them. You have been like the marketplace where everyone felt they can step on you. And that's going to end. So the Navi is describing an end to the time that the Jew will be the one who is stepped upon. It certainly sounds like the Navi is not describing what would happen after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. It certainly sounds like the Navi is talking about a much more futuristic time, something that we hope we are approaching. So we know that every prophecy that was written down was written because it had long-term message. So this prophecy as well. We're continuing. Uri, Uri, Livshi Uzeich, Zion, arise, arise, Zion. It's time to dress yourself with strength, with might. Livshi, Bigdei Tifarteich, wear your clothing of glory. Yerushalayim, Irakodesh, Jerusalem, the holy city. Ki lo Yosef, Yavovach od Aril Vitamei. Because people who are uncircumcised and defiled will cease to come in you, Jerusalem. So the Navi is describing a time which we haven't yet seen, if we're talking about the future. Right? If he's not talking about the rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash, then the Navi is talking about something that's yet to come. We read this prophecy after Tisha B'Av, part of the prophecies of encouragement, the Shiva Dinechemta, that we read after Tisha B'Av, after we, so to speak, re-experience the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, is this prophecy, arise Jerusalem. Hit na'ari me'afar, cleanse yourself, shake off the dust. Kumishvi Yerushalayim, come back Jerusalem and sit down on your throne. Hitpatchim Moserei Tzavarech, Take off the shackles that have been placed on your throat. Shevia bat Zion, you Zion who have hitherto been in captivity. Jerusalem, free yourself of that captivity. Shevia bat Zion. And here we can understand that he's speaking about Jerusalem. We can understand that he's talking about the Jewish people, who are, so to speak, the daughters of Zion. Because so says Hashem, Chinam nimkartem, you were sold for free. The Nazis said, who wants the Jews? Take them. We just don't want them here, right? They sent a shipload to the United States and Roosevelt wouldn't let it dock. Take them. We just don't want them here. They allowed the Jews to go to Israel initially. The British wouldn't let them in Israel either. So, the Pasuk describes there's a time when the Jew was sold for free. Who wants the Jew? Take him for free. Says Hashem, you were sold for free. Ve'lo ve'chesef tiga'elu. It won't be for money that you will be redeemed either. The redemption will also come about in a way that's, so to speak, for free. So, I read the Pasuk in its literal sense. Chazal explain it. On a deeper level, Chazal say, Chinam nimkartem. You were sold, so to speak, you lost your sovereignty over nothing. When a person analyzes what the Yetzer Hara does to them, they look back and they say, why did I fall for that? Why did that matter in the long run? Whenever we have a choice between our Yetzer Hara and our mitzvos, so our mitzvos are a long-term investment, and the Yetzer Hara is a short-term investment. The Yetzer Hara in the long-term, a person regrets taking that course. The mitzvos that a person does in the long-term, a person cherishes taking that course. And so, chinam nimkartem. Chazal said, chinam is a code for the Yetzer Hara. Our sages say, you didn't gain anything by it. You did it for nothing. You gave up your future for what? For nothing. Chinam. And so says Hashem, the way to redemption is not about money, it's through tshuva. The way back is through repenting. We're up to Pasuk Dalet. We'll pick up here, Bezat Hashem, next week.